From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 20th day of October 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And then later in the program, the folks at Louis Dreyfus in Kansas City will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. Closer to the bottom of this half-hour program, Don Day will be here. He'll help us take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, we'll hear from the state statisticians in Illinois, Minnesota, and Nebraska, and a complete update of crop progress across the Midwest. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's a Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here the way the numbers settled in Chicago. December wheat at 517.5 for the soft red, a quarter of a cent lower. March at 535.5 down one, and the May at 547.5 down a half cent. December corn futures today, 384.5, a penny and three quarters lower. The March at 396.75 down one and one quarter. And the May contract at 405.5, a penny and a half lower. July corn, 413 down one and one half, and September 417.75 down 2 cents. November soybean futures, $9.82.5 down 13.75. January at 9.85.25 down 15.25. The March at 9.86.25, 16.75 lower, and the May at $9.81 down 17 cents. July at 9.80.5 down 16.25. December bean meal at 292.50 down 5.80. December, or January bean oil, that is, at 37.91, 12 cents lower. October live cattle futures up 20 cents at 84.90. December at 86.15, down 30. October feeders at 94.25, 55 cents lower. And the November futures there down 32.5 cents at $95.20 a hundredweight. December lean hog futures today, a settlement price down $1.17.5 at $52.87.5. The February contract at $59.75. settled $1.07.5 lower. You are, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report. This is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Don't forget to visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $79.09 a barrel. A settlement price down 52 cents. November ethanol at $1.92.3, settled 3.5 cents higher. November natural gas at $5.16.8, 33.5 cents higher. And the RBOB gasoline for the November contract, 0.7 cents lower at $1.98. November heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at $2.25, down 1 cent at this hour. And the gold futures at $1,057.80, 50 cents higher on the day. That's a settlement price. The Dow currently trading at 10,025, just about 66 points lower. The U.S. dollar at 75.56, up 0.05. And the CRB index today at 278.13 is down 1.52 on the afternoon. The Goldman Sachs at 512.23, down 2.8 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like, as prepared by our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, and updated by Mike Sola. They say tonight in far northern Illinois should be cloudy, a few scattered showers there. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy, lows will range from 45 in southeastern Indiana to 53 in the western parts of Illinois. Tomorrow, in northwestern Illinois, mostly cloudy, scattered showers. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds, some sunshine. Highs will range tomorrow from 60 in the far northwestern part of Illinois to 74 in the south. The extended forecast calls for rain that should spread from west to east into Illinois and Indiana on Thursday. Rain may be heavy at times Thursday afternoon into Thursday night. Many locations could pick up over an inch. That's right, an inch of rain, and this rain will stop harvest, of course, for several days. Lingering showers will be likely Friday into Friday night, with showers tapering off from west to east on Saturday. We'll take a complete look at the ag weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and talk with Don Day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Tuesday afternoon. I understand that most of the producers out there will be trying to go full bore, probably in soybeans rather than corn at this time, mostly because the elevators probably shut them off trying to get corn that they're getting in the morning dried in the afternoon. And here's the deal. I know you're going to work late, whether you're in the cornfield or in the bean field, and you're probably going to work really late. If you're in beans, they're going to get tough, and you're going to try to push right on through them. And those beans are going to just pile up in front of that combine at some point. And if you don't take a little nap this afternoon, some bad things might happen when you try to clear that out. So here's the deal. I'm going to talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. When you get to the end of the row right now, shut down the machine and shut it off and take a nap. You've been working hard, I know, today, and you're going to work really late tonight. And we just assume you'll be safe. And we'll call that an investment on our part in you today because, of course, you invested us in the last several days. And, by the way, thank you so much for your generosity. We really do appreciate it. And it's important to us that you stay safe all this harvest season. On the line with us this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He's here. Hi, Wayne. How are you today?
Well, I guess I'm ready to put some guys to sleep, Todd.
Well, you know.
We'll try to make it a little more exciting than that.
It is a bit more exciting, but it's awful important that they get good sleep and that they take some breaks out there. We take coffee breaks all day long and trying to keep ourselves mentally sharp, and they need to stay that way too. And so hopefully they'll shut those machines down and listen to us for a little bit, and I can sing-song them to sleep after we get done talking to you. How about that?
Oh, that'd be great, Todd.
All right. So tell me about the marketplace. A little bit of a turnaround Tuesday, led down by the soybeans today.
Well, you know, as you mentioned, Todd, that the farmers are aggressively harvesting soybeans and have been here, you know, since Sunday. We're seeing a lot of the terminals, with lines backing up with people getting farther along, and we're filling that pipeline back on in, and we saw some hedging on the close today, a little commercial activity that way. We did not crash this market because of the wet weather that you talked about coming in here on Thursday, some as early as Wednesday afternoon, over as farther west as we go, and then again a little shot possibly over the weekend, and then on the 28th to 30th. But some of the private forecasters have eased up just a little bit of the rain that they were putting in the forecast for next week, so might be giving us a little better chance to get back in the cornfield here later next week, Todd.
All right. So when you take a look at this marketplace, and maybe we can talk about, we talked about a gap between harvest and the start of harvest and the push on the cash market and processors needing both beans and corn. The pipeline fills up, rainfall comes in, holds things back just a bit, and the pipeline should drain out, I would think, fairly quickly. But maybe you can give us a better idea what impact that has and how producers might view it as a marketing opportunity, if they should view it that way. What are your thoughts?
Well, Todd, as you basically said there, when the elevators get backed up, the pipeline gets full, and then we see a widening of basis in all general accounts that way. If we have our breaks in between, we don't really put a glut on things or whatever along the way, well, then we don't tend to see the basis widen out as much as it sometimes does during harvest. The other thing that we have to consider this year is our corn, in most cases, is coming in at least 5% wetter than normal. At this time of year, the drying expense is a lot more, and wetter corn is harder to handle. It takes longer to combine to move. It doesn't move from bin to bin as well, and it takes longer to dry. So we can back things up a lot with that going on this year as far as the corn harvest might slow us down and take a little bit longer than usual to get through the corn harvest. So, and also, you can't stack real wet corn out on the ground and bring it in to dry later. You're going to have to at least dry it down to start with.
Hey, so one other that's question. One other question on that issue of amount of fuel that it's going to take. Is there any concern among producers you talk to that they didn't book enough fuel needs simply because it's so late and it's taking, well, the corn's wet. It's obvious the machines are going to take a whole lot more fuel, I think, to get through the field than they have in the past. Have you talked to anybody that's concerned that they'll need to try to book more diesel fuel?
You know, we haven't talked a lot about that, but of course that's one of the things we've watched, you know, the crude oil, which affects the heating oil, which is the diesel fuel, and, you know, we have went on up in price here a little bit, but most of them are more concerned about the amount of propane going through their dryers than they are the diesel fuel at this point in time, Todd.
But, well,
you know, the propane, I would imagine that there will be some price increases as long as the propane lines go here over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, actually, do you have that price for propane? My ProfitX numbers aren't updating. I haven't for a while.
I don't have the propane number up front. Unfortunately, Todd, as we look at the propane number on the screen, it is it's not totally irrelevant, but basically irrelevant because it is such a thinly traded contract that it's not a good hedge for any of these farmers to use the propane contract.
Six months ago, I tried
buying propane 3 days in a row with a market order and didn't get a fill.
Oh my gosh!
So it's sort of an unrealistic thing to look at. We need to look more at the heating oil and the natural gas contracts more for reality as far as the energy markets go.
Dow Jones Industrial Average today holding above 10,000. You think it'll stay there?
Well, I think that we're going to be hard pressed. We're going to have to continue to see good news coming out of the corporate earnings here along the way and what we're looking at, Todd. But there's been quite a bit of enthusiasm. I know we had a few more housing starts this month and looking for things to progress that way. But it's going to be hard to stay above this 10,000 mark.
Any other things we had to talk about before I let you go for the day?
Well, I think that we're going to be watching the weather, number one, and the value of the dollar, number two, as far as these go. And if we could get some clear weather, why, we could probably see a little bit of a setback in the market. But right now, the forecasts are for very intermittent harvesting.
All right. Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joined us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons. If you'd like to hear what Wayne had to say again, you can always do that online at willag.org. That's willagorg.org, that is. Or you can call this phone number. It's 217-333-3434 at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. We post some analysis and the opening market numbers and closing market numbers to that voicemail. Again, we call it our mobile analyst portal. The number is 217-333-3434.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Please visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, crop maturity for the corn is advanced to 83% complete. That's 9 points behind last year, as reported by USDA's Crop Progress Report yesterday afternoon, and 14 points behind the five-year average. Producers have harvested 4% of the nation's crop during the past week, leaving progress at 17%. That's still 11 points behind last year and 29 points behind the rolling five-year average. Cool temps and continued rainfall across much of the growing region limited harvest and left producers waiting for the moisture content in their crop to decline. Overall, 70% of the corn crop reported in good to excellent condition, unchanged from ratings last week, still 8 points better than last year. From the soy complex, nationally, 95% of the soybean crop was at the leaf drop stage or beyond. That's on par with last year, 2 points behind the rolling five-year average. Harvest advanced to 30% complete last week, 34 points behind last year, and 42 points, or over 2 weeks behind the average on the 5 years. The most activity evident in Michigan, where 5 days were suitable for field work, and that provided producers their ample time to harvest 21% of their crop. Overall, 65% of the soybean crop reported in good to excellent condition, unchanged from the ratings last week, but 8 points better than last year. And finally, producers seeded 5% of the 2010 winter wheat crop during the week, with 69% of the crop in the ground. Progress, 8 points behind last year, 9 points behind a five-year rolling average. Seeding was most advanced in the areas of the Great Plains, Rocky Mountains, and Pacific Northwest. Emergence advanced to 48% complete by the week's end, 8 points behind last year and 16 points behind the average. Now, here are the statisticians from Illinois, Nebraska, and Minnesota with updates from their regions.
This is Margie Whitecotton reporting on crop progress and condition for the week ending October 18th. Temperatures were 11.7 degrees below the state average, and precipitation was 3/10 of an inch above average. Topsoil moisture supplies continued to rise this week at 59% adequate and 41% surplus. The continued excess moisture has made harvest a difficult process. The corn crop ended the week at 79% reported in the mature stage category, compared to 97% 1 year ago and 99% for the five-year average. 11% of the corn fields were reported harvested, compared to 30% a year ago and 68% for the five-year average. Overall, 66% of the corn crop was rated in good or excellent condition, up slightly from last week. Soybeans in the shedding leaves category advanced to 93%, compared to 95% a year ago and 99% normally. 13% was reported harvested, compared to 60% 1 year ago and 79% for the five-year average. Statewide, 63% of the soybean crop was rated in good or excellent condition, down slightly from a week ago. This has been Margie Whitecotton, agricultural statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the crop weather report for the week ending October 18, 2009. Temperatures averaged 11 degrees below normal across the state. Precipitation was widespread but limited. All districts except for the Panhandle averaged at least a quarter of an inch of rainfall. Corn conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Over three-quarters of the corn is mature. Corn harvest has also been slow due to poor drying conditions. High grain moisture levels have resulted in progress being 18 days behind the average. Over half the soybeans have been harvested, a week behind the average. Sorghum conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Over three-quarters of the crop is mature. Harvest is now 16 days behind the average. Dry bean harvest is almost complete, near the average. Most of the winter wheat has been seeded and three-quarters has emerged. Proso millet harvest is nearly two-thirds complete. Pasture and range conditions continue to rate mostly good or excellent. This is Becky Summer with the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending October 18, 2009. Fall harvest progress was hampered by another cool, wet week. Statewide, less than 2 days were suitable for field work. The cool weather and additional precipitation kept most fields too wet to harvest. Average temperatures were 8 to 16 degrees below normal. Daytime highs were particularly cool at many reporting stations last week. The high for the week in Montevideo was 42 degrees, while Worthington and Staples only reached 45 degrees. Measurable snow fell across the state on Monday and Wednesday, with totals ranging from 2 inches near Winona in the southeast to over 4 inches near the Red Lakes in the north. Corn harvest advanced 1 percentage point to 3% harvested. That's 14 points behind last year and 28 points behind the five-year average. 84% of the corn was mature or beyond, compared to 93% last year and 97% for the average. The corn crop was rated with 73% in good to excellent condition. Soybeans were 34% harvested. That's 47 percentage points behind last year and 49 points behind the average. 97% of the soybeans were mature, with 67% of the crop rated in good to excellent condition. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending October 18th, 2009. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report here at Illinois Public Media. Our thanks to Doug Hartwig and the rest of the statisticians for their updates from their regions. You are, of course, listening to Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. We always check in on the agricultural energy markets on this day. This afternoon, joining us from his Louis Dreyfus office in Kansas City is R.J. Verissimo. And thank you for filling in for your colleague, Mr. Barwinski, today, R.J. We appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thank you for calling.
And I understand that he's in Geneva today, and that doesn't mean Geneva, Illinois. That's Geneva, Switzerland. So we wish him good luck while he's there and hope that he gets a lot of work done. But I know you're probably carrying the load there in Kansas City. What are the problems you're facing with this late corn harvest in the ethanol industry?
Well, it's difficult for pretty much everyone to be finding corn right now. Obviously, with the farmers not able to get it out of the field, It's tough to get anything in the next couple weeks. And the other problem, obviously, is that most ethanol plants don't really like to have high moisture corn, and right when you get it out, it's obviously going to be a problem for most dry mill plants.
And then there's also some tightness in the ethanol industry, I understand, too.
Yes, very tight, actually. Despite the few plants that we've had turning on over the past few months and the few more that are scheduled in the next few weeks and months, there's still just quite a bit more demand out there than we've got supplied. Most stocks are running pretty low in most of the locations that that are typically the big spots, down in Houston, out on the West Coast and the East Coast, and particularly Chicago's been very tight.
One of the things that's shown up is that there is now an export market for U.S. ethanol. I saw, I think, a couple of barge loads or ship loads or something along those lines made their way toward South America.
That's true. With the sugar harvest having so many problems and prices being sky high in Brazil, we've had news of at least two cargoes making their way down to the Brazilian market, most likely out of Houston. And we've also heard that there's some people trying to work it into Europe, actually, which has typically taken ethanol out of Brazil. The big problem there being quality spec issues. The EU has a different series of specs than the United States, and run into some problems there, but looks like that's something that's open as long as people can make the quality that they need.
And so it all simply appears the demand for U.S. ethanol is good and that plants will be able to chew through a corn harvest.
Definitely. I mean, margins are great. I don't think plants are going to be slowing down at all, even with basis levels in the interior being high and corn being hard to find. They're going to do everything they can to get some corn because they want to keep running right now. Overall, it's a good outlook right now for us.
All right. Thanks much, RJ.
Thank you, Todd.
R.J. Verissimo is a senior trader at Louis Dreyfus Commodities in Kansas City, filling in this afternoon for Mike Barwinski, who's away from his desk today, as we talk about the agricultural energy market. Speaking of energy, there was an awful lot of energy here at this radio station as we were finishing up our fund drive this morning. And Dave Dickey, Director of Ag Programming for Illinois Public Media, is with us to tell us about the final numbers and tallies. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Todd.
Congratulations. What a move today. Yesterday afternoon, I was in the office. I heard Shelby call and say, hey, I want to put $1,000 in. And then I heard you
just
this
about
morning.
Fell out of my chair.
Yeah, fell out of your chair. And you guys all agreed that 50 calls would be the thing that should happen. And 50 calls, I got to tell you, from years of fundraising, is an enormous number of calls to get over a day. But you did it in, I don't know, 2-3 hours this morning. Congrats.
Especially when it's not just the entire listening audience, but it's particular to the agricultural audience. Final numbers, hold on to your chair, Todd. 189 calls contributing $26,793.
All right. Thank you to all our listeners, and thank you, Dave Dickey. You are, of course, listening to Illinois Public Media, and thank you for making a difference in this program and its delivery to you. Back in 2 minutes with the Ag Weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. University of Illinois Board of Trustees Chairman Chris Kennedy says Richard Herman will be hard to replace as chancellor of the Urbana campus. Herman says he'll resign next week after months of pressure over the university's admissions scandal. Kennedy says the next chancellor will have to bring a strong vision for science and research to the job. Herman's name appears often in emails detailing preferential treatment the school gave well-connected student applicants. The Academic Senate voted last month to call for Herman and University President Joseph White to step down. White will leave his post in December. Kennedy says Herman had discussed voluntarily stepping down since the first meeting with six new U of I trustees last month. Kennedy says both administrators were looking out for the best interests of the U of I. Today's announcement by Herman means the campus will be without a permanent president, chancellor, and provost on Monday. But Stanley Eikenberry, who takes over as interim president in January, says he and Herman will work to ensure a seamless transition in leadership, along with interim provost Robert Easter. Herman will assume the role of special assistant to Eikenberry before becoming a math professor next July. Eikenberry says there will be no interim chancellor, and he believes it's unlikely the search for a new chancellor will start until a new president is named. A former top aide to former Governor Rod Blagojevich has pleaded guilty to charges in the corruption case involving the ousted Illinois governor. Alonzo Monk also agreed to cooperate with federal prosecutors in their investigation of Blagojevich in exchange for a 24-month sentence. The prosecutors say Monk took part in a wide-ranging corruption scheme, but charged him with a single count of trying to shake down a racetrack owner for a $100,000 campaign contribution. Illinois is using $74 million in federal stimulus money to help low-income working parents with child care. Officials say the new money means parents will pay less money in a state child care assistance program, and they'll have access to child care longer if they lose their jobs. The state can also keep enrollment in the program open and won't have to resort to a waiting list. Governor Quinn and State Department of Human Services officials made the announcement today at a child care center in Chicago's Pilsen neighborhood, but the federal stimulus money only runs through September 2011, and Quinn acknowledged he has to find money to replace it. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, always joins us on Tuesdays. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, it was a beautiful day yesterday and started out that way today, but clouds kind of gathering around, and I'm not so certain that it's going to stay that way all the way through Wednesday. What do you see across the Midwest?
Well, you are correct. As we get through today and tonight and most of tomorrow, really not a lot going on. It's actually going to be pretty mild. Temperatures upper 60s, near 70 or better in some areas. But we're going to hit a stretch of cool, wet weather. There's a Pacific storm that's going to bring some cool, wet conditions to the Dakotas and portions of Nebraska and Kansas and Colorado tonight, all the way down to the southern plains of Texas. And this system is going to take its time. It's going to move in tomorrow night and will basically stay put through Friday night. So from Wednesday night through Friday evening, wet weather will move into the Midwest and Corn Belt, along with some cool temperatures. Nothing terribly cold with this system, but certainly be ready for a change in the weather. It is coming.
Well, what's that change going to bring to us?
Well, rainfall amounts are going to be pretty good. I would say that anywhere from a half to three quarters to an inch will fall in most locations. Some areas upwards to an inch and a half. And this will be covering most of the Corn Belt, but especially the northern and western areas will likely fare the best in terms of the heaviest amounts of moisture.
How long do you think it'll keep producers out of the field?
Well, we'll probably see some clearing over the weekend. I do think that Saturday and Sunday we'll see some clearing skies and dry conditions that will probably last through Monday and Tuesday. So we'll get a break. Thing is it really won't be all that warm. We're only going to see temperatures in the 50s for highs this weekend into early next week. So this wet weather is going to not dry out real quick. So there could be some delays getting back into the field this weekend. It may not be until early next week in some areas.
Yeah, so it seems like it's setting up with a pretty persistent 3-4 days of rainfall and then a couple of days of either nice weather or at least dry weather of some sort and then back into the wet again. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, we see a little bit of a rhythm to the weather pattern that is exactly as you suggested there that will probably go into early November. At least into the first week of November, we see that pattern continuing. So what you're going to have to do, folks, is make the best of every situation you can when we do get these gaps in between systems is to take advantage of them, and it does look like the gaps will last too long.
Have you turned your attention very much to South America and progress they're making in their planting season?
Well, planting shouldn't be hampered too much by the weather. Now, the forecast is a little more wet for South America, not exceedingly so, except in portions of Brazil, Argentina looking at near normal precipitation.
All right. Thanks much. We appreciate you being with us today, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. You have a great day. If you're in the field, be successful. And if you get the opportunity to pull over and take a small nap, do that. I know you're going to work awful hard. If you're not in the field but you're roaming those back roads, be sure you're watching for the tractors and the combines and stay safe. Those are big vehicles. They move really slow. Stay safe out there. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.